this for a moment. I was clapping as Minister Patton said 3,000 people per month read the Pulse or enjoying the Pulse. And even if it was one person that went to a website 3,000 times and read it over again, I'd still be happy about that. Not because of me, because I'm not promoting me, but because it gives people an opportunity to learn about the things of God that they can grow, be rooted, grounded, and established in the faith. Too many people in the body of Christ, they are hearers only and not doers. And the word of God is not given just for us to store up knowledge, okay? What the word is doing is communicating to us life. Everybody say life. Life, living, what we live by. Jesus says, man, he quoted, it was written in the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, he spoke this to the devil. Hallelujah. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus also said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. In other words, God's communicating life to us, and it's life in the kingdom. And it may seem like, well, that ain't, you know, it is vitally important. It is not, God doesn't get impressed by how much knowledge we have of his word. It's how much we're living by and walking by. That's what impresses God. So we can know the Bible, we can quote scriptures, but if we cannot walk it out, then God's not impressed with that. We might impress men. You know, we go before them and start quoting the scriptures and things like that, and they may get blessed by it. I had one of the special moments and opportunities with my grandmother before she passed on, where she told me a story about her and this preacher. And there was this preacher, and I think I might have mentioned it before, but it's worthy of repeating. This preacher, he could preach. And so one time, I'm not sure where my grandmother was in the church, but she saw the preacher, and she saw what he would do before he got on the platform. And mind you, many still do that today. I'm not condemning them. I'm just stating the facts. It's true. So what she saw was a preacher pulled out a flask. How many of you know what a flask is? Okay. He pulled out a flask, and then he took some sips before he got on the platform. So what was in the flask was not water. It wasn't, you know, it's one of those things that keep the water cold like a thermos. It was alcohol. And so the way my grandmother described it to me, she's like, when she saw it, she said, ooh, Rev. It's like, you doing that? And so he just went on, and she knew that about that person from that point on, that he would. Well, the thing of it is that was not pleasing God, him taking a few shots of alcohol to get up there and preach to his people. Praise God. It's like, God's people so bad, I need a drink. I had a pastor friend of mine who now lives back in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I was under his leadership for a while. And what happened was they went on a vacation down to Mexico, and anyways, while down there, because the ministry got so rough that he just, down there, nobody knew him and those who he was with, and he had a shot of alcohol trying to just, you know, do something about all of the stress and pressures of ministry itself. You have ministers who like to take sabbaticals. They you know, annually, they may go away for, I'm not talking about vacation, I'm talking about a sabbatical, if you will. And, you know, they need a break from ministry because of the pressures and all. And some you might think, well, maybe you ought to go take a break. Well, you know, this is life. Jesus has communicated life to us. Amen. Imagine Jesus going off on a sabbatical. You know, well, you know, the Lord made the Sabbath. That's right. He made the Sabbath one day out of the week for rest. And that's for everybody. That's why people are so stressed out now. Because when they should be resting in the Lord, we're out doing other activities. And we don't give our bodies, our mind, our soul an opportunity to replenish and refresh itself. The body will heal itself if we'll take care of it properly. You get a cut, what comes forth? What is the blood doing? Come on. And what else is it doing? It's not only just clotting, but it's cleansing. It's trying to remove any type of germ or something that may have come in. And so it clots to stop it from bleeding, because otherwise we bleed to death. But the body will then, next thing you know, it stops bleeding, and then a scab forms. And then, you know, if you don't do like me, I'll pick at stuff until it's gone. I have a bad problem with that. But if we allow it to, that scab will then go away, and then you have your fresh skin again. The body will heal itself. So it's like if we would just take heed to what God has already given us, then we wouldn't have to do certain things that we do. Now, I'm bringing all of that back to the place of the gentleman who liked to drink. And I'm not condemning anybody right now. I'm just saying it's not the will of God for us to do so. The Bible says we're foolish if we think that it's okay in that regard. But it's not the will of God for us to have to do this and then go and do his work. Because God's not, it's like he's communicating life to us. So if everything that I'm giving you pertains to life, either God is trying to make life so miserable for us that we have to revert and resort to those types of things, or God's trying to communicate something to us that sets us free from all of that stuff. God brings order to chaos. He brings peace to confusion. He brings healing to sickness. That's God. And he reveals it to us through his word. So when he's communicating to us, he's not just giving us just orders, just to, you know, that we're robots going around, you know, yeah, do this, do that, do this, and do the other. It's like, no, he's teaching us how to live life and enjoy it on our way to eternity. Hallelujah. Because we know in eternity, or we should know, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more pains, no more heartaches, no more crying, no, none of that stuff. It'll be peace, bliss, eternal bliss for all eternity. There'll be no more husbands and no more wives. No more baby children or rebellious children. Everything will be divinely ordered in a perfect state like we were made in the beginning. And so God communicates the words of life to us now, teaching us how to live the life that he would have us to live, as he had his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, live and walk on this face, on the face of this earth. And so dad is communicating life to us. His words are life to those who find them. His word is even medicine to us. He teaches us how to do things. And then it's up to us as stewards in order to carry those things out. Amen? Because if you think God, you know, God just made life miserable. And no, God made life blessed. Hallelujah. We sin brought on the curse, and God brought a Savior. Bless God! Hey! Hallelujah. He brought on a Savior to rescue us from the bondage of sin and bring us back into the kingdom of his dear son, where we may have life and have it more abundantly. And the thing about it is everybody has to walk in it. And when we're walking and somebody else is not walking, they can make that road that much more difficult. But on the inside of you is the kingdom. Hallelujah. On the inside of you is the power. Oh, let me just go ahead and say it. Jesus said, and when he was teaching the disciples how to pray, he concluded, "For thine is the kingdom." Where's the kingdom? In you. Because Jesus says, you know, don't marvel not. Don't be panicking. Don't be afraid. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't worry. Dad wants you to have it. And so he says, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. The kingdom is in you. Amen? Amen. Now, imagine this, and I'll stop. Coming to the kingdom. It's just like we see it all the time, and this is not being politically, a political message or anything like that. But people, imagine people coming in to the United States. And they come because, for many of them, they know that there's opportunity here. It's whatever people may think, it's still the greatest country in all the world. There's no other country like this one. The one that comes closest is Israel. They are the apple of God's eye. It's the land that God chose to put his people there, and therefore they are blessed. But God has caused even the United States to prosper greater than Israel. We're not necessarily in a better place with God than Israel, but we are wealthier. We are more powerful. We are a better nation. More people seek to come to the United States of America than any other nation because they know of the opportunity. So there's good and then there's bad. Some people, envious of our prosperity, come to do harm. But for the most part, they're coming because of opportunities that exist here in the United States. And so they do whatever to get here. It's that way in the kingdom of God, or it ought to be anyways. When we consider what the kingdom has to offer versus what the world has to offer, there should be more of a pressing in, even if, I'll say this with an if, even if they did it illegally, they did it because of the benefits that are resting in the kingdom. When Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force, Amplify says, violent men seize it. Why? Because of its precious value. Whole point of that is to come to this. Imagine somebody wanting to come into the kingdom, being permitted to come into the kingdom, and then refuses to live by the kingdom. Are you with me on that? Think about that. We'll cover it next week, or we'll cover the rest of it Wednesday. You can read your pulse and get a better insight on what's going to be coming. But in the kingdom and then refusing to live by kingdom rule and authority. Amen. Stand to your feet. Otherwise, you'll be here till 2:30. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you revealed and how you minister to those by the Spirit. We pray for everyone that is here, that not one person leaves this place empty-handed, destitute, or found lacking or wanting. But even now, Father, you do things that we didn't even ask for. Father God, you set before us doors that no man can shut. You give us divine favor, favor with you and favor with mankind, that causes our lives to reflect your glory in the earth. We take authority over principalities and powers. We take authority over the powers of this present darkness. We shut the door on the adversary so that there is no access into our lives. Father, we walk in the wisdom that you provide. We walk in the authority that you give us. And we use the power that you have allowed us to exercise in order to accomplish your will and prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Father, that your word does not return to you void when it comes to our lives. but it accomplishes what you please and prospers in our lives as you've sent it to us. I cover each and every one in the precious blood of Jesus. I pray that you go before them and your glory will be their rear guard. And that whatsoever, according to your word, whatsoever they do that is pleasing in your eyesight will prosper in the name of Jesus. And everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. Now the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the powers of hell, the gates of hell, will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God. You're the blessed of the Lord. You're God's finest in this hour. You're not here by accident or by chance. You're here and you're in the kingdom for this hour and moment. This is your time to shine in the spotlight of God's favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We love you. We will not be here tonight for prayer, but we begin next Sunday.